Rafik Hariri, former Lebanese prime minister, was killed along with 14 others in a massive bomb blast in downtown Beirut on Monday, February 14th. In the wake of Hariri's death, extraordinary political pressure on an international level and also internally within Lebanon has been directed towards Syria to withdraw their 15,000 troops currently stationed in Lebanon. Hariri stepped down as Prime Minister of Lebanon in October 2004 in protest of the presence of Syrian troops in the country. At that time, Hariri joined the political opposition, who are now blaming Syria for Hariri's death and calling for all Syrian troops to withdraw from Lebanon. Hariri was a billionaire who made his fortune as the personal contractor for Prince Fayyad in Saudi Arabia. Hariri also played a central role in Lebanon's post-Civil War period with his involvement in the 1989 Taif Accord and also playing a central role in Beirut's reconstruction after the 15-year-long civil war which ended in 1990. I had the opportunity to speak with Dr. Samah Idris, co-founder of the Campaign to Boycott Supporters of Israel, a coalition of groups based in Lebanon working to pressure governments and corporations who are economically linked with the Israeli state. Samah is also the editor-in-chief of Al Adab, a Lebanese arts and culture magazine based in Beirut. In the interview, Samah speaks on the ways in which Hariri's economic policies in the post-Civil War reconstruction period have affected Lebanon's working poor majority and the 500,000 Palestinian refugees in the country, while also providing perspective on the current political situation in Lebanon after Hariri's death.
Hariri came into power basically as a symbol of Saudi power in Lebanon. His real power came out after Taif Agreement, which was an American-Syrian equation to settle the civil war, to have an end to the civil war. From then on, he became the symbol of all the international, or rather the globalized, world and its mandates in the sense of what kind of economic policy should Lebanon adopt in order to be in line with the policies of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, etc. So in that sense, he achieved an international reputation. By international, of course, we mean the capitalist, globalized world, not the progressive forces around the world, of course. At this point, emotions are very high, and all Lebanese and Arabs are after a trivial slogan called, unfortunately, I would say, a trivial slogan called the national unity. So nobody wants to talk about any negative points in anybody's history. So nobody wants to remember that Hariri was the person in charge of our $40 billion plus in national public debt. Nobody wants to talk about over probably 35% of unemployment. People would only talk about the 32,000 students who Hariri helped go and study, either abroad or inside Lebanon. Talk about the magnificent infrastructure, but not talk about other things, about either the debt or the unemployment, but also about the extravagance with which some of the infrastructure was built, an extravagance that the Lebanese economy did not really need in comparison to other needs that Lebanon does need. I would say that in some time people will try to put this personality and his achievements into perspective and not just see that he was a victim, which of course he was, just a victim of the regional as well as international powers.
Now, I was very interested in what you said in terms of the economic policies of Hariri. Can you maybe go into depth about the reconstruction after the civil war and how Hariri's economic policies followed what you talked about as globalization, the policies of the IMF and the World Bank? How did the reconstruction relate to those policies on a global level? We could call it capitalist globalization. And more importantly, how did they affect the general people of Lebanon?
I would say that contrary to the image that the media portrays or that the media give about Hariri as being a benevolent and father of the poor, that was not the real image that many Lebanese and many Beirutis in specific have. What we call the downtown Beirut was in fact owned by original owners of this sector, whose property was bought in peanuts. I mean, the price that the original owners of Beirut got for their city was nothing compared to what it is now or to what Hariri would like to sell later on. And that's why they founded something called a committee to defend the rights of the original owners of Beirut or something like that. So even this image as a constructor of downtown Beirut, in fact, obliterates or erases the nature of the massacre, and I find no better term, of the original nature of Beirut and of the rights of original owners of Beirut. Now, the economic policies that were adopted by Hariri and his group were more and more geared towards satisfying the capitalist enterprise in Lebanon and even in the Arab world and even in Syria, because contrary to what many people think, he had some close relation with capitalist people inside Syria itself. So the more importance was given to how to make a huge airport that would satisfy 6 million passengers. Imagine an airport in Beirut for 6 million passengers. And, you know, the artificial facade of civilization, quote-unquote. All this was being pushed forth by Hariri under the illusion that a very close peace will be achieved between Israel and Lebanon, which, of course, did not happen and will not happen as long as the rights of the Palestinians and Lebanese and other Arabs are still not given back.
You spoke about the image that Hariri was attempting to present of Beirut, of Lebanon. Now, after the war, there was a very large attempt to reconstruct the country, to present it within the international community as a safe place, as especially a safe place for international investment. Can you maybe speak about how these economic policies relate to the reality on the ground? Do you feel that this economic program actually were responsive to the realities that people faced in Lebanon, or were they policies more geared towards the international community?
No, of course, the Lebanese people did not benefit at all from these policies. People could not care less about how civilizational downtown Beirut would look like or how big the airport is, as long as the real issues like peace, like real peace, like solid peace, or about how justice are achieved. So what's the point about having such a huge airport if it can be bombarded in a second because there is no real peace and justice regarding the Palestinian-Israeli issue? And as far as the internal economic policy is concerned, to this moment we are still unable to pay for the, not for the debt, for the interest on the debt. We cannot even now pay for the interest on the debt. And all what we do now is to try to pay for the interest of the debt. And nobody even like is trying to tell us that we do not want you to pay our debts back. So we have to pay in terms of our everyday life, in terms of inflation, for the extravagance that Hariri and his government poured on us. And instead of trying to enhance the internal economy of the country, what we witness is just an interest in the influx of foreign companies into Lebanon. So rather than try to create a Lebanese company that could do something beneficial for software business, for example, Hariri tried to tell and to encourage foreign companies to come in at the expense of students and fresh graduates who would instead prefer to leave the country.
Now, what relationship do you see there as being between these economic policies that you spoke about and the lack of real peace with justice in the region in regards to the Palestinians, the Lebanese, and their relationship with Israel?
I think that the Palestinian problem should be viewed as an internal Lebanese problem. We cannot really try to solve the Lebanese problem without taking into consideration that at this point we still have over 300,000 Palestinians inside Lebanon who dwell into poverty, and specifically because there has not been a solution that takes into consideration the right for return. And as long as the Lebanese government, Hariri or otherwise, are not talking about a real solution to the Palestinians, and by solution, of course, I only mean right of return, because, of course, all Lebanese and all Palestinians are against what we call tawtin or reinstallment of Palestinians in Lebanon. So as long as the Lebanese government does not talk about the right of return and does not work towards achieving this right of return, then there will be no real peace and no real justice for Lebanon itself. So the Palestinian problem is and should be viewed as a Lebanese problem on levels of health, education, economy, let alone justice and security, etc.
Where do you see things going in the future in regards to Hariri's assassination in terms of the economic and the political situation in Lebanon? How do you see this as affecting things for the future of the country?
Contrary to what some people think now, I don't view a civil war in the horizon. But I do envision many assassinations and many attempts at trying to destabilize the situation in Lebanon. Of course, the government is practically non-existent. It doesn't exist and is doing nothing to enhance national unity among Lebanese. And the so-called opposition is trying to grab any opportunity, any international opportunity, to try to gain as much as possible in terms of politics, even if that is at the expense of sovereignty, which they keep talking about endlessly. I think nobody really knows what could happen. It all depends on what the Americans at this point decide. If they decide that Iraq and Palestine are more important than Lebanon, then they might try to have some deal with the Syrians. And as long as the Syrians are willing to say, okay, we will close down the offices of Hamas and Islamic Jihad, and we are willing to accept the roadmap, etc., etc., then maybe at this point the Americans would say, fine, Syrians do not really need to leave at this point, or not to leave Lebanon, all of it. They can just do it step by step as the Taif Agreement suggests. But I think that regardless of what the Americans say, the Syrians should take a stand, should say at this point that all that we have to make a statement, a strong statement, we have to pull out at least to Biqa'a very quickly and try not to make the Syrian withdrawal or non-withdrawal an issue among Lebanese. Because what's going on now is that the real differences among Lebanese are being covered by the issue of Syrian withdrawal. I'm not saying the Syrian issue is not a real issue, but it's not the only issue among Lebanese.
For people here in Canada, for people in Montreal, what key issues should we be paying attention to in regards to the situation on the ground currently? There is a lot of discussion and debate around the assassination in the media. But from your perspective, what should progressive people who have values of social justice be paying attention to in regards to the situation on the ground in Lebanon currently?
Well, let me talk about what we in Lebanon try to do, and maybe progressives in Canada would see what they could do in return. First of all, we try to we focus on the Palestinian question. As Lebanese, we focus on Palestinian question because we know that not many Lebanese are doing this at this point. So we try to talk about the necessity of having political and civil rights for Palestinians in the camps. Because we cannot, just under the pretext of wanting Palestinians to return, to keep them dwelling into poverty, which fosters all kinds of extremism in the final analysis. So that's one thing we try to do. The second thing is to promote secularism among the Lebanese and try to convince ourselves first and then other Lebanese as well that there is no solution to the Lebanese problem if we keep following sectarian leaders. We also try to, and maybe that's where our comrades in Canada or elsewhere might try to help, to work on boycotting companies that support Israel as well as the American occupation of Iraq. So we try to gather information about companies like Nestle, like, you know, irrespective of their nationality. So we don't focus on American companies. Any company that supports injustice anywhere in the world should be targeted as consumers in Lebanon, in the Arab world, and all over the world.
You've been listening to an interview with Dr. Samah Idris from Beirut concerning the recent killing of Rafiq Hariri, former Lebanese Prime Minister. Dr. Samah Idris is a co-founder of the Campaign to Boycott Supporters of Israel, a coalition of groups based in Lebanon working to pressure governments and corporations who are economically linked with the Israeli state. Samah is also the editor-in-chief of Al Adab, a Lebanese arts and culture magazine based in Beirut. The interview provided perspectives regarding Hariri's economic policies in the post-Civil War reconstruction period and how they have affected Lebanon's working poor majority and also the 500,000 Palestinian refugees who reside in the country. For more information and analysis of this nature regarding Hariri's history and the current political climate in Lebanon, visit the Independent Media Center of Beirut online at beirut.indymedia.org. That's beirut.indymedia.org. This interview was recorded and produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.